Second Chronicles, chapter 34. Second Chronicles, chapter 34, in God's Word this morning. I would like to begin reading there in verse number 1. Second Chronicles, chapter 34, and verse 1. You notice as I read, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images he brake in pieces, and made dust of them, and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priest upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Would you join me now in prayer? And let's just pray for the Lord to do a work in our hearts today. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the privilege to share your word today. God, I pray that you would give us what we need. Lord, that we would see the importance of living in your word every single day. The importance of having a daily quiet time alone with you. And I pray, Lord, should there be someone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, well, God, I pray that you would do a work in their heart today. And, Lord, that you would show them the gospel very clear. And we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, before us this morning is the account of a young man with an implacable devotion to his God. And thus he saw the power of his God at an incredibly young age. The story was told of a man who once wrote a book. He put much effort and work into writing this book. And as it is often done, he had a literary critic review the book. And as she read through the book, she marked it full of red marks. And at the end of reading the book, she said, not only will this book never make the bestsellers list, it should not even be printed. But then, as fate would have it, some time later, that literary critic met the author of that book. They began to date. They fell in love. They were married. And you know how the story goes. After they were married, she read the book again. And she said, this is one of the best books I've ever written. Or he's ever written. I can't believe how good this book is. And she said, I don't know what I was thinking, making all of these terrible marks against this writing. Well, what changed there? The book didn't change. It was still the same. The author was still the same. She was still reading it with her same pair of eyes. So what changed? Well, her love for the author changed. And folks, we'll never have a love for God's word until we have a love for God. We'll never understand God's will for our life until we are in his word. But it all begins with having a true love for God. And I've shared this with you before, but I think it's so interesting as we see the many different facets of God's word and how we have it still today. And I'd like to share this with you again. No other book has so occupied mankind. It has been studied by more scholars, hated by more critics, loved by more men, admired by more world leaders, and circulated by more nations than any other book. It remains the number one all-time bestseller. It's estimated that 50 Bibles are sold every minute around the world. No other book has so affected government. By it, kings have ruled, nations have been founded, Wars have been fought and constitutions have been written. No other book has changed more lives, altered the course of more nations, received more praise, and yet has withstood the test of time and the wrath of man. Its divine author is the Holy Spirit. God used over 40 different men to pen the scriptures, and I do mean different, such as Amos, the fruit picker, David the shepherd, Solomon the king, Paul the tent maker, Joshua the soldier, Luke the doctor, Peter the fisherman, all from different continents, different backgrounds, including Europe, Asia, and Africa. It's written in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Over a period of 1,600 years, it was written. Nearly 80,000 words are contained in the Word of God with no mistakes, complete correlation, and fulfilled prophecy. To read it from cover to cover would take 72 hours. This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, and its good is for our design. The glory of God is its end. It should fill the mind, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, read it frequently, read it prayerfully. It is a mine full of gold and a jar full of honey, a paradise of glory and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts and it will lead you to a place called Calvary. The binding of this great book from Genesis all the way through Revelation is sewn together with a crimson thread called the blood of Jesus. Its entire theme is redemption. God's word, the power of God's word. You know, if we want to read God's word on a daily basis and have a daily quiet time, we'll do that. Why? Well, we do what we want to do, right? We really do. We make time for the things that we're interested in. We do what we want to do. I can recall some years ago when I believe it was President Bush was coming to town, and me and several of the team guys, we were very interested in seeing Air Force One, but they were all still in school. So I went out to the air base to see Air Force One land. And I knew of a road that led to a hunting club there behind the Air Force base. And you could follow that road all the way back behind the base. And when you got back there, you were right there at the runway. You could see the whole runway from one end to the other, and not very far away. So I headed out quickly, and I thought, well, my little dog Tommy would probably like to go. So I grabbed Tommy, little Jack Russell. And then I thought, well, some crystals would probably be nice also. So I stopped and got a bag of crystals. He liked crystals. And so we were making our way back there. There were helicopters flying in the air, Secret Service all around. And I noticed when we got back there, I had evidently caught the attention of the Secret Service in this helicopter. He flew over to where I was. They evidently were not aware of this road that led behind the base to a hunting club. And they're watching, and I see men in these black jumpsuits headed my way. And I thought, oh, wow, this is not good. And on top of that, I was wearing binoculars because I wanted to get a close view of the airplane. And nothing short, you could say, of looking like a terrorist probably. But as the helicopter got closer, I held up the Crystal hamburgers. I held up my dog to show I was peaceful and friendly. And they went their way. But you know, why did I go through all that trouble? It's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do that. I wanted to see Air Force One. I got to see Air Force One. Beautiful airplane. You know, we are going to do in this life what we want to do. And if we want to read God's Word and take time in God's Word, we're going to do that. If God's Word is important to us, we're going to stop and take time to read His Word. I want you to notice with me this morning the power of daily devotions. Beginning our new year, it's so important that we start off on the right foot, that we would begin in God's Word, the power of daily devotions. And my proposition for you today is this, and I'll repeat it several times throughout the message. Daily devotions will change your life and the world around you. Daily devotions will change your life and the world around you. And I want you to notice with me here in the first place. Notice five benefits here in the arena of daily devotions. First benefit, number one, daily devotions will provide for a daily cleansing. And hey, folks, we all need a daily cleansing. Amen? We need that. 2 Chronicles, going back there to our text, notice verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And the first thing he did right was spending time alone with God. He spent time alone with God. Psalm 119, the psalmist tells us, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word hath I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. James tells us over in James chapter 1, we've been looking at this on Sunday night, verse 23, James chapter 1, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, it's not just good enough to sit and read God's word for the sake of reading God's word, but that we would apply God's word to our hearts and lives, that we would be able to be doers of the word, that we would be doers and not hearers only. You know, it's so easy to sit down and try to have a quiet time, and so many other things come to our mind. And we're thinking of all the different things we need to get done, the responsibilities that we need to get done. But you know, John Wesley said, I have so much to do that I must spend at least 3 hours alone with God in the morning. It's so important that we spend time alone with God. It's good for daily cleansing. And when we go to God's Word, He will show us the things in our hearts and lives that need to be fixed. He'll show us the things that are out of place. And just like going into your bathroom mirror. Well, you wouldn't consider going into your bathroom mirror and seeing that your hair needed to be combed this morning, or that you needed to shave or brush your teeth before coming to church this morning. We wouldn't go before our mirror and just totally disregard what it shows us. Well, we're going to pay attention to the things that the mirror in our bathroom shows us. And when we go into God's Word, we should pay attention to the things that God shows us that are not correct, things that are out of place, things that are not where they belong. And we need to be willing to fix those things. But also notice, not only is it good for a daily cleansing, but daily devotions, number two, provide daily direction for our lives. God's Word will provide the direction we need in our lives. Notice back in our text, verse 2 again, it said, and the second part there, and he walked in the ways of David, his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now, what's so interesting here, at the beginning of his reign, it's believed that King Josiah was around 8 years old. Now he's coming up close to the age of 16. And he begins to go back to the word of God, the God of his fathers, not speaking as David being directly his earthly father, but his the lineage of his godly heritage is what he's speaking of. And as he goes back and he starts to read God's word, He then sees the importance of God's word and how important it is not only for him, but also for the nation where he is the king. As one little boy was walking by a carpenter one day, he noticed the carpenter was out there with a skill saw, cutting wood, building a house. And he asked that carpenter, he said, "Sir, what would you say is your most valuable tool?" And the little boy thought that he was going to pick up a power tool like a power drill or saw or something, but he didn't. The old carpenter reached in his back pocket and he pulled out a square. Maybe cost all of $1.98. He said, "Young man, this is my most important tool, because without this, nothing else is in line." And dear friend, without God's word as a believer, nothing else is going to be in line in our lives. Nothing will be square. And we will be lacking. We will struggle. We'll have a problem. In Psalm 16, verse 11, we read, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." And if we want to truly experience the joy and the pleasures of the Lord, it starts in his word. Getting our daily direction from God's word. In Yellowstone National Park, they take tours. I've never been there, but would love to go someday. But they lead tours of different visitors, hikers, and so forth. And one of the cardinal rules that the park rangers have is to never turn off your radio. Always keep your handheld radio turned on in case of an emergency. Well, as the story goes, there was a forest ranger leading a group of hikers on a tour through the forest. And there was another park ranger high up in the fire tower who radioed to him to try and alert him that about 50 yards ahead there was a grizzly bear. But he couldn't get to him because his radio had been turned down. And so he quickly called for other rangers to make their way over there to stop this ranger from heading in that direction for the danger. And then he was asked by his superior, "Why was your radio turned down?" He said, "Well, the people were asking questions. I wanted to be able to answer their questions, and I couldn't hear it with the radio." Folks, listen, we speak to God through prayer. He speaks to us through his word. And we cannot turn off God's word in our life. If we do, we are greatly going to suffer. We must spend time alone in God's word. Why? Because daily devotions will change your life and the world around you. Number three, I want you to notice in the arena of daily devotions, daily devotions will not only provide a daily cleansing and daily direction, but also notice, daily devotions will provide daily manna. God's word will provide the food we need, the spiritual nutrients we need to live out our Christian lives. Go back there to our text, 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 3. "For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father." Now notice, at this time, it's believed that he was around 16 years of age. 16 years old. And he is seeking after the God of David, his father. Luke chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus told us, he answered him saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Listen, we must have spiritual food, or we're going to perish. We're not going to make it without the spiritual nutrients that we need to live out our everyday lives. We must have it. And listen, the truth is we're very selective about the food that we eat physically. I mean, we wouldn't go around eating food out of a trash can. We wouldn't eat food off the floor. Well, we're very selective with that. And so I want to encourage you this morning, I want to exhort you, be very selective of your spiritual food. Be cautious of who you listen to on the radio. Be cautious of who you listen to on television or on your computer. I want to tell you something. There are many false prophets out there with a desire to tickle your ears, to make you feel good about you. And the truth is, we need God's word. I was sharing with our Sunday school class this morning that, very sadly, that Atlanta, Georgia is now known as the capital of false prophecy here in America. And it's just astonishing of the churches up there and what some of those churches are doing. Well, the truth is, they're really not churches. They're places of entertainment, and many of them have come out teaching heresy in ways you would not believe. One pastor has stated that, hey, the biggest loser of all was Jesus Christ. I mean, what? You know, that is just blasphemy. That is blaspheming the Lord. And so many people fall for this, and they are hooked by this. And reason being is because a lot of that is very attractive to our human flesh. We're very attracted to the things that don't make us seem as bad as we really are. But the Bible says there's no good in any of us. Our greatest works are as filthy rags. And so we see many times with these false prophecies and false prophets that they have the mindset of doing this because they want to draw a crowd. They want to have a huge following. The more people equals more money. They do not claim the deity of Christ. They totally turn their head to the deity of Christ. So be cautious of the spiritual food that you select to take in. Make sure that it's of the Lord. Make sure that it's God's word that you're hearing and not man's word. Be cautious of the music you listen to. It's very easy to be hoodwinked with wrong music. Listen, no music we listen to, I had to learn this years ago back in seminary. If any music in its embodied or designative meaning creates feelings, emotions, moods, or values that are of, by, or for the unchanged way of life, such music is out of place in the saved life experience. In other words, if our music is going to lead us to worldly thought, to worldly actions, we don't need that music. You know, that's exactly what Aaron did when he built and designed and formed that golden calf. And then along with that, there came bad music. And the Lord referred to it, it sounded like a bunch of noise. Just noise. It sounded demonic, and it led to worldly actions and ultimately led to them being naked. And the music we listen to is so, so vitally important. We have to be cautious of the music we listen to. That's why we strive here at our church to have godly, Christ-honoring music. We don't want to have music that is a replica of the world. Why? Well, because God does not need the world to reach the world. And our worship, our music, our daily devotion, it should not be a reflection of the world. It should be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And it's very easy, if we're not cautious, it's so easy to get caught up in wrong music. It's so easy to get caught up in false doctrine and believing someone who is teaching heresy, who is teaching a lie. There's another preacher up in Atlanta who has currently chosen to have a gay man come and speak at a conference that he hosted. You know, how do we get around that? Not to say it's not the gay man's fault. Hey, we love all people. All families are touched by that today in some way or another. But we have to come back to God's word and what God's word tells us in Romans chapter 1. Be cautious of who you listen to. You know, ultimately, It's a matter of selling out to our flesh. When we have a desire to be entertained, sensationalized, by nature, we desire to be entertained. We enjoy that. But it's not intelligent worship. Intelligent worship is exposing God's word for what God said. And when we can take that in and apply it to our hearts and lives and live in accordance. It's not a bunch of noise. As God referred to the children of Israel as Aaron was leading them. You know what he did? Instead of giving them what they needed, he gave them what they wanted. And we'll never grow that way. It's really selling out to the flesh. It's a matter of pragmatism. It's a matter of saying, hey, if it works, it's right. If it doesn't work, it's wrong. And there are many people today who take that mindset that, hey, in church, we're going to try this, and if it works, regardless of how we come about it, if it works and it draws a big crowd, we are going to decipher through this, and we are going to call it right because it works. It builds a crowd. But I want to tell you, dear friends, if it's not holy, God is not in it. So at the end of the day, if we take that path, we're wasting our time. I mean, why are we here today? Why are we here? Well, we want to glorify God. We want to grow in our Christian lives. Why do we have a daily time of devotion? Well, we want to grow for the Lord Jesus, for His glory. We focus on God and His Word for His glory. And when we can settle that one principle in our Christian lives, it will help us in every other area of our Christian life. And it's 1 Corinthians 10:31, our church motto and theme verse. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And if we can settle that one truth and principle in our hearts and minds and understand why we are doing what we're doing is for the glory of God, I tell you what, it'll set a lot of other things right in our lives. It'll help us from going astray. But many people have the mindset, if it works, do it. And if it doesn't work, regardless if it's God's word, if it doesn't work, set it aside. And so many people today, they've taken God's word and they've set it aside because in their minds it's dated. It's out of date. It doesn't work. And so we need something different to reach today's crowd. We need something different to reach people. Well, folks, listen. If God's word was good 2,000 years ago, and God's word is good 5 million years from now in heaven, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. If it's good for 5 million years from now in heaven, it's good for today. And we have to understand that God's word is always in time where we are. It's never a delay. It's never out of date. We don't have to look at it that way. God's word still works. And when we have that idea that, hey, we're going to pull away from God's word because we have another way that really builds numbers and really does right. Hey, there's not another person in here that would love to see the seats in this church filled. But I'm not willing to compromise on God's word to fill these seats. I want to see it done God's way. Because listen, there are still people who want God's word for what God says, who are not looking to be entertained. They're not looking to be sensationalized. They truly want God's word for what He's saying. And that is my goal as pastor here. Some years ago, I've shared with you before, I was asked by a pastor friend, very decent man, and he had asked me to join forces with him and a number of churches here in Macon, and they were including all denominations to come together for the cause of the gospel here in Macon. I'm all for spreading the gospel in Macon. Boy, Macon, Georgia needs the gospel. But I'm not willing to join hands with heresy for the sake of promoting the gospel. If it's not holy, God's not in it. And he had made this statement, listen, we're not going to talk doctrine. We're just coming together for the cause of Christ to promote the gospel of Christ. But dear friends, we're told in 2 Timothy, we cannot have the gospel of Christ without the holy doctrine of Christ. We must have his teaching. And if we take that mindset and say, hey, we're all going to get behind the cart of salvation with our own might and our own will, and we're going to push as hard as we can. We're just going to get behind it and push, and we're going to take the horses of doctrine and we're going to park them in the stable. We don't need those. We're just going to put out an effort to push God's plan. You can't have salvation without the teaching of Christ. It's so important. Daily devotions is good for daily cleansing. It provides daily direction, and daily devotions will provide manna for our lives. We see a great example of this over in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, turn there if you would, please, and we're going to come back to 2 Chronicles. I was at a youth pastors conference many years ago, and Dr. Mark Minnick was the featured speaker at this conference. And this is one of the things he shared. I tell you, it is just so true. It rang like a bell. And I want you to see this. Acts 16, and notice verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now, here's the story. You know the story. This is Paul and Silas as they are there and they're coming to the city of Philippi to start the church at Philippi. And as they come in and they're preaching the gospel of Christ, well, here's this demon-possessed girl. He refers to her as a soothsayer. We would refer to that as a fortune teller. And she brought her masters much money. She was demon-possessed. However, notice what she's doing. She's promoting their efforts. She said, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And she did that for many days. Now listen, the Apostle Paul and Silas could have easily used that for their benefit. But they didn't. Now listen, she was well known there in Philippi. She was well known. They could have jumped on the bandwagon and used this girl to promote what they were doing. But they chose not to. And instead, Paul turned to her and he cast the demon out of her. And she was saved. And it's believed that she became a part of the church of Philippi. And in return for doing that, what happened to Paul and Silas? They were cast into prison. And they were beaten. And so he was more concerned with giving the truth and sharing the gospel God's way. He did not need the help of the devil. He did not need the help of worldly formations. He did not need the help of a fortune teller, even though what she was saying was correct. Now think about that. She was correct in what she was saying. But the Apostle Paul was determined. He wasn't going to use anything of the world or of the devil. And you listen to a lot of the music they have out today on Christian radio. A lot of it does have correct doctrine, and we would agree with that. But what about the vehicle that carries it? And some of it sounds worse than a heavy metal rock band. We're not to imitate the world. And we're not to use those things to grow as a believer. Daily devotions will change our life and the world around us, but we must do it God's way. But also, number four, daily devotions provide experience, a daily experience in our lives. Go back to our text there, of 2 Chronicles 34, notice verse 3. Notice the second part there, verse 3. And in the 12th year, by the way, at this time he was about 20 years of age, 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Listen, Christian biographies are great. Do you enjoy reading Christian biographies? I do. I love to read Christian biographies. I have a lot of them that I've read throughout the years. It's very encouraging. I would encourage you to do that. But on the other hand, I would also say, don't allow for Christian biographies to be your only Christian experience. Let's have our own real-life Christian experience with God. We can have that experience too. Jeremiah told us in chapter 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And listen, I understand, and the Bible tells us there's nothing new under the sun. I will never stand behind this desk and preach to you anything that hasn't been preached before. There's nothing new under the sun. And when it comes to God's word, there's nothing new. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But that's not to say that we cannot have our own real-life Christian experiences. Go with me, if you would, please, to Romans. I want to shed more light on this. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I'll begin reading there in verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And this leads me to the final point here, and we're going to take a closer look at verse 5. Daily devotions is good for daily cleansing, daily direction, daily manna. Daily devotions will guide us in the way we need to go. It will feed us with the spiritual nutrients that we need, and it will provide a daily experience for us. Listen, we need to experience God on a firsthand basis. Not just hearing what the preacher preaches on Sunday, not just what the radio preacher is sharing, not just what you read in a Christian biography, but folks, we need to experience God for ourselves in a real life experience. And you notice there, daily devotions, he said, is good for daily hope. Notice verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now, you're going to see here why hope is so important. But you can't have hope without an experience. We must experience.